Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Everybody, my name is Gio Zelaya. As many of you know me, my family, I run Tacos of Fluffy, and come to you with a different message today. Not the usual post that would be expected, but it is the reality of what me and my family are going through at the moment.
You might have seen this yesterday, PNJ and WAR reporting on it. Well, somebody had sent me the link. I had not seen it myself until somebody posted it, but the owner of Tacos El Fluffy, Gio Zelaya, as you heard there, introducing this video that they had posted on their Facebook page, telling a what's pretty painful story for them personally related to immigration enforcement.
My mom has been here for over 20 years, and she came here illegally, but she's had a work permit since 2015 that she has to renew every year. And this year, when she went up to renew her work permit, it was revoked. And the reason was because of the current administration's immigration policy. And she was given a month to self-deport, which puts us at October 25th.
So that's, Saturday as a deadline for her to remove herself from the country after having been here for a couple of decades and having originally come here illegally, but as he says, and then having gotten work permission to be here and then having to go through the process of renewing that every year, and then this year saying, no, you cannot have this again, you have to leave. Is it good that she came here originally illegally? No. Is it good to make her leave and separate a family? No. Is it our country's fault that this is happening? Yes and no, right? I mean, no, because we have laws, but also yes, because we had allowed her to stay here year to year to year, right, working. And that policy has now changed under President Trump. So what's your reaction to this? The video goes on, and I think, you know, one of the things about being a citizen, and, you know, we're all citizens, we're responsible for the legislation, for the actions of the government, because the government is responsive to us, is you have to think about the implications of what your government does. You know, if you live in a dictatorship, then you don't have any responsibility for what the government does because you didn't pick, you didn't vote for it, you can't change it, you just suffer from it or benefit from it. But, you know, like, you know, a monarchy, the No Kings protests, you know, well, we have a say. There's so much irony in the No Kings protests, right? Like, why would you bother protesting if you can't do anything about it because it's really a king, right? Well, because you can, because your voice matters, your vote matters, fundraising for elections, for advertising matters, all these things matter. Well, okay, so we have a policy here that we are all responsible for collectively. No individual is responsible. The people who voted for Trump aren't necessarily responsible in a way different from the people who voted against Trump because we're all part of the system. But still, you know, if you voted for, and I voted for him, you know, to a degree, I'm responsible for this. So is this a good outcome? These are the questions you have to ask yourself when you live in a democracy. And I know it's a representative republic. It's a constitutional representative republic. That's not a matter that carries any weight today. So we all have to think about these things. And many times a government will do something that's painful to people. It doesn't mean the government's wrong. But sometimes when you're confronted with a situation that's emotionally poignant, and anybody being deported is emotionally poignant, you should be able to listen to the story of the person affected and still think it's the right thing. If it is the right thing. Because, you know, real world choices have consequences. You know, if somebody's going to be executed, you should be able to look at the execution and say, hey, yeah, you deserve to die. It's the right thing. Like we have been executing a lot of people in the state of Florida. If you're going to throw somebody in jail because of drug use, then you should be able to say, yeah, that's right. You should look at that and say that's right. That's what an adult does in a democracy. And it might not be fun all the time to think about the implications of the policies that you advocate for. But again, that's what responsibility means. So let's look at what it means to this family to have this particular set of immigration policies.
Tacos of Fluffy will be closed from October 20th until the end of the month. And this is happening because of the situation that we're in. My mom has to self-deport by October 25th, and I haven't been able to process the reality. We knew that this was something that could happen, and we have a plan, but now having to execute that plan has been a lot for me and everybody around me, especially my sister, who is a 16-year-old trying to live a normal as possible life as she can.
So they had a plan. They knew this could happen, of course, since she's here out of status, that, you know, they knew what they would do. And she's leaving the country. She's going back to Honduras. And, you know, doesn't make it easy for them if this is what happens. And as he said, his sister, his young sister, 16 years old, is trying to figure out how to live a normal life when, you know, her mom is now leaving. You know, they have a thriving business. Financially, they're okay. But they still have this very serious problem to deal with. And he says, look, we're going to, you know, the restaurant's closed. I think it closed on Monday. But it's closed now for at least a little while. It's not out of business. They're not, I mean, he's still here, right?
To summarize it, we'll be closed October 20th till the end of the month to be able to take some time for myself and for the team. I just want to spend the next couple of days cooking for my mom, my team, and spending time with family before we have to take my mom to the airport and have her go back to Honduras.
Yeah, I understand all of that. I think I'd probably do the same thing under those circumstances. Your mom is going to be leaving you for an unknown period of time. You're going to be separated from her as you stay here in the country where you have economic and social opportunity that you don't have back in Honduras. And you're going to carry on. But for a little while, it's going to really be painful.
I just ask of you to be patient and understanding of the situation that we're on. And we wish we had more answers for any of the questions that might come up, but the best thing you can do is call your congressman, call your districtman if and ask them what is going on in our country, what's happening to so many individuals that are here and do have a permit or a visa, and those papers are being revoked. Just ask them why that is.
And he's not upset in the anger sense, right? Is just saying, look, ask, and it'd be Congressman Petronas, right? Or it'd be Rick Scott or Ashley Moody. These are your federal representatives. And ask them whether this is a good thing. Ask them why these statuses are being withdrawn. Because, again, she had status. She just had to renew it every year. That was the rule. You might say, well, you know, where are these people at in terms of their reaction to all of this? Obviously, it's pretty painful for them. They run a successful business. It's very popular here in Pensacola.
I want to thank everybody that has made this dream possible. Without God and you, we wouldn't be here.
So how do you react to this? I don't know how I react to it. I react to it the same way I've kind of been talking about this immigration stuff all along, which is this is exactly the kind of case that we don't want to have happen. We have people here who are members of our community. If they're not citizens, they're not even here legally. Some of them are not citizens, but they're here legally. Some of them are, you know, not here legally, but they're still members of the community. They've been here a long time. They are productive. You know, she helps run the taco shop. I've eaten at Tacos El Fluffy. I've had a taco made by his mom, you know, and they're not causing problems. They're not draining the system. They're not doing crimes. They're not the problem. In my opinion, these are the kind of people that we want here. And if we have them here, we shouldn't be expelling them because they are beneficial. They are a net contributor to our society. Did they come here the right way? Nope. Does that dispose of the entire case? I think also no. I think especially at a certain point, you have to say you've been here long enough, and the policy is that you should have to go. But we've also had a policy of ignoring that and letting her continue working. And so in some sense, it's our fault for making a kind of a bad set of laws. Now, I know a lot of people view this as, well, they're violating the law, they know the consequences, and surely they do, and surely they did. Okay, that's true. But is it a good law? Should the law be better? And some of the things that typically people who might say this is good to do, and you should obey the law, that's fine, those are very good conservative principles, but conservatives also care about whether the law is just, whether the law is good. For example, is it good economically to remove a contributing citizen? It's not. I mean, you know it's not. We have loads of people who are being removed who are contributing to our economy and not creating any crimes. What did Kristi Noem say in the hour, top of the hour Fox News? She said 70% of the people that they are removing are criminals, have criminal charges against them. Okay, good. Those people should be removed. Agreed. But 30% don't. Right? I thought the number she said was 400,000. I might have misheard or might have, you know, caught it too quickly, but 30% of 400,000 is 120,000 people being removed from the country who do not have charges against them, who are, as far as we know, contributing, members of society, economically beneficial. We don't gain from making them leave. These are the kind of people we'd like to have here. How about family? You're conservative? If you're conservative, you believe in family? You believe in policies that support the family? I think you can make the argument that being a conservative fundamentally means being pro-family. Libertarians are individual-oriented. Liberals are society-oriented. Conservatives are family-oriented. That's a very, very rough but pretty reliable guide for what it means to be a conservative. There's a lot else built into that, including the rule of law, obviously. But if we're pro-family, then we want things that are good for families. Is this good for families? No. Obviously. Here's a case. Here's an example. It's bad for this family. So, do you still support the policy? Well, I mean, I want to get rid of criminals. Oh, okay. So let's get rid of criminals. Is that good for their families? No, that's bad for their families. But there's a trade-off there because they're criminals. And we don't want people who are here illegally who are going to do crimes, right? So that changes the balance. I'm just saying, you know, this is a poignant particular example. And sometimes when you're talking about politics, it's important to pay attention to how the actual policy on the ground affects individual people, because ultimately every law ends at a person you put in jail, a person you make leave the country, a person you make pay the fine, or the person that you don't do anything to at all, the person you make cut their grass, the person you make not have a fence quite that high. I mean, you know, laws always end at some person and their interests. And listen, every story can be told sympathetically from any perspective. You can tell a story that's sympathetically, perspective oriented towards even the violent criminal. Look at how many movies are told from that perspective. The fact that it's a sympathetic story does not mean you change your view. Beware of that. Emotionally compelling, gripping stories are not the end of the political discussion. But if you can't look at what a story or a policy is doing when it comes to the individuals it's affecting and still hold that it's the right policy, then you should work to change the policy. And in this case, I think we have immigration policies that are doing harm. And they should be changed or they should be enforced differently. I can't for the life of me think of any good reason why expelling people from this country who are, again, embedded, apart, economically contributing, not a drain and not criminals, and part of families particularly, is good on any set of values that I believe in. So when I look at this particular case, I think this is bad. Oh, by the way, did I mention he's a Navy vet? Oh, does that change anything? Should it? I mean, it shouldn't, right? But he is. So does he love the country? Do they love this country? Do they believe in this country? Sure, of course. Does he earn a different consideration for his mother because he's a Navy vet? Well, it shouldn't matter, right? But, you know, there's a part of you that's like, ooh, I don't love this so much anymore. 525 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Severe from Vicks.
Sinex Severe nasal spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Severe instantly relieves nasal congestion and works 6 times faster than nasal decongestant tablets. The 12 hours of relief allow you to get back to the moments that matter without congestion.
Daddy, we need more balloons.
On it.
Try Sinex Severe from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Severe from Vicks.
Sinex Severe nasal spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Severe instantly relieves nasal congestion and works 6 times faster than nasal decongestant tablets. The 12 hours of relief allow you to get back to the moments that matter without congestion.
Daddy, we need more balloons.
On it.
Try Sinex Severe from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
It's a living thing, Brian. It breathes. It eats. And it hates.
Part of that good REM, the hot rock REM, not the slow, weepy, oh my gosh, my tulip just died REM. 528 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you have a home improvement project you need to work on, you need supplies, you need instruction, you need ideas, or you build things for a living, same thing. Pensacola Hardware can help you with all of that. They have been around since, gosh, it's still amazing to me when I think about this, since 1851, 174 years, since before the Civil War. They've been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola. And they've, you know, if you walk around town, okay, and you see a building that's more than 50 years old, pretty good chance Pensacola Hardware had a hand in that. You see a building that's more than 100 years old, almost certainly. You know, Pensacola Hardware had a hand in that. More than 150 years old, right, they've been doing this that long. It's crazy. So when it comes to your commercial construction supply needs, they will take care of you. When it comes to your individual home improvement or repair needs, they will take care of you. And especially if you aren't sure how to do something, or you are sure but I want to make sure that you're sure, you know, sometimes that's good too, ask them. They know. They're experts. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Vice President J.D. Vance and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu held talks in Jerusalem on the implementation of the Gaza ceasefire. Vance did say he thinks things are going better than he initially thought they would. The talks come after Hamas did return the bodies of 2 more dead hostages to Israel yesterday. The Palestinian militant group is believed to still be in possession of the remains of 13 more hostages. An alleged illegal immigrant and a federal marshal are recovering after a shooting in Los Angeles on Tuesday. Officials say an ICE officer shot the immigrant while he was attempting to flee immigration agents Carlitos Ricardo Parias, who's apparently a TikToker that goes by Richard L.A., has been charged with assault on a federal officer. Authorities claim he tried to ram into the immigration agents with his car. One of the bullets fired by the ICE agent also struck a U.S. marshal that was assisting in that arrest.
So the illegal immigrant rammed his car into the ICE agents. The ICE agents returned fire, missed, hit another ICE agent, and then also hit him eventually. Is that what I understand this?
That looks to be it. The case,
mess.
Yeah.
Ugh, what a mess. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. We'll be back in just a minute with our interview from Chip Simmons yesterday. Stick around.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Vice President J.D. Vance meets with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today in Jerusalem, discussing the Gaza ceasefire deal.
You've heard Steve Witkoff say this. You've heard the president, I believe, say this, that if we do this the right way, it could create a model, I think, that could lead to other peace agreements all over the world, because it shows what's possible when you're willing to think outside the box and actually put some elbow grease to get it done.
The Trump administration will need more than that to stop Russia's war in Ukraine. At least 5 people are dead in Ukraine from a drone and missile attack today. Ukraine's Air Force says Russia launched 28 missiles and 405 drones. At 22 days, the government shutdown is now the second longest in history. The Senate will take another vote today. The House is out of session for another week. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 65 degrees right now with partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola. Brush fire along I-10 in Santa Rosa County burned about 10 acres yesterday. It was reported between Avalon Boulevard and the Baghdad exit along I-10. Firefighters were able to contain and extinguish that fire within about an hour of it being reported. Now, officials do say that no buildings were ever threatened at any point. But had that same fire happened a day later with gustier winds, it could have spread a lot faster. So far, there is no word on what caused that fire. Now, the FAA is now taking steps to make sure President Trump is safe when he's in Florida. A round-the-clock, year-round airspace restriction around Mar-a-Lago went into effect this week on Monday. That'll be in effect even when the president is not in Florida. Taco's El Fluffy in Pensacola is temporarily closed. Owner Gio Zelaya's mother was informed that her work visa has now been revoked. She is required to self-deport by the weekend. The woman's visa was pulled as she was undergoing routine annual renewal process. She initially came to the country illegally, but has had a work permit since 2015 and renewed it every year since. The restaurant will be closed through about the end of the month. Motorcycle crash with injuries was reported on Barrancas Avenue around South 3rd Street yesterday. Channel 3 reports at least one person was seen being transported by EMS. That crash happened about 6 p.m. yesterday. Well, efforts to remove Burmese pythons from the Everglades are being ramped up. That's according to the governor yesterday. He said the state's python removal program has been very successful. He said there were more pythons removed this last July than the entire year before. The governor also called on lawmakers to fund that program annually. It is 5:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be looking at a lovely day today, starting off with temperatures in the 60s. Highs today near 79 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures falling back into the 50s, 53 degrees for the overnight low. For Thursday, plenty of sunshine, high near 79 degrees. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 58. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 65 and partly cloudy. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. UPS said it will retrofit 5,000 of its boxy brown trucks with air conditioning in delivery areas with the hottest weather. The first 2,000 vehicles readied under the agreement will be retrofitted by June 1st of 2026. Air conditioning will be added to all 5,000 delivery trucks by June 1st of 2027. Shares of Netflix fell around 7% after the company posted a third-quarter earnings miss, citing an ongoing dispute with Brazilian tax authorities for the weaker-than-estimated results. Revenue for the quarter rose 17%, which was in line with analysts' expectations. Netflix said it posted its best ad sales quarter ever during the period. Boardroom drama at Wegovy maker Novo Nordisk has laid bare the company's biggest challenge, how to better tap into America's mass market for weight loss drugs. The Danish drug maker that initially soared on the success of its obesity drug has lost its market lead to U.S. rival Eli Lilly and cheaper copycats. Futures are currently mixed. That's Your Money Now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Staying healthy after 65 just got easier with Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus. This means more time with your care team and appointments, more focus on your health needs, plus daily group activities and access to an on-site fitness center. Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus. Accepting patients at 9 Mile Road with a new location on Mobile Highway now open. Visit Ochsner.org/65plus-Pensacola.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and we have in our studio, we have Sheriff Chip Simmons, the Escambia County Sheriff. Sheriff, welcome back to the show. Good to have you, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're having way too much fun this morning. There are a lot of silly things going on in the world, and it's super entertaining. First question for you, the fair. How's the fair been going?
The fair's been going very well. I was over there last night, a second time. I don't go there every day, but I was there last night. The weather was nice. I'm a fair weather fair type fair goer. It was very
fair weather fair goer.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. If it's cool enough, I can get
going to
there.
Get your salad for lunch. Is that what you're?
Yeah. No. Salads aren't meals. Remember. I can tell you what is a meal.
All right.
You know, turkey legs.
Yeah, turkey legs is a good
stuff
one.
They got in there. They got these spiral potato things that are pretty good. Those, you can make a meal if you eat enough of those.
Oh, yeah. And the way Mama Jane makes them, a funnel cake is a meal.
Yeah. I'm not a funnel cake kind of guy. Yeah, I don't want to waste room in my stomach with that kind of stuff. I'm a grown boy. I need real food.
Nope. Go. All right. I just learn stuff all the time. Anyway, how is security at the fair going?
Well, I talked to a lot of the deputies. They didn't have and had any problems. You know, you got a little bit of arguments here and there, but mm-hmm. as I understand, no arrests have been made. We haven't had any issues with the fair's decision to not allow open carry or concealed carry. There were some issues with people not reading the instructions online about what bags to bring and not to bring.
Because they have clear bags as a rule now, right?
There's a clear bag rule. So there's that, but you know, that's to be expected, I suppose.
Do people really bring bags to the fair?
Well, I mean, I guess for kids and wallets and keys, purses, and I guess people that carry purses, yeah.
Okay, couple of stories. Let's see, you've got the guy that I will name as Jeffrey Birdwell, 42-year-old. You would recognize the picture because he's the guy with all the face tattoos, like. More than you have ever seen on a human being before, he's got. So basically, this side of Jim Rose Circus, you've never seen so many face tats.
Well, and the bigger problem with him, besides the face tattoos, is that he is a sexual offender and he hasn't fulfilled his obligations to register. And so we're looking for him. We are looking for him, as I understand it. And we put his picture out. You know, like you said, go and take a look at it. You will recognize this bozo if you see him.
So he's required a mandatory report. He has not done that, and you're just looking for him for that. Not some other crime, but the mandatory reporting check-in kind of.
That's correct. But we take those mandatory reports very serious because people need to know. And there's a website that documents where all these sexual offenders live, and so you can know. You can take a look at your neighborhood, and so you understand you know, who's living in your area. Now, if you haven't looked at FDLE site on these registered sex offenders and it's terrifying, quite frankly, the number of people have these.
Well, you can look at you can get the map. You pull up the map and you know, within the vicinity of your house, and you think, good gravy. and it distinguishes between, you know, what, the blue and the red, you know, the offenders and the violent predators. Right. Right. And, you know, none of it's good, but you can pull up the details, and it's a scary. I mean, you know, go look, but it's not a pleasant thing to look up. The FDLE case, with Chad Wren, the custodian at the Blue Angels Elementary, allegations of obscene communications to a child and so forth, he's now quit his job, but you guys are not involved in that case, right?
We're involved in a task force, but FDLE spearheaded that,
okay.
that particular
so that's not really you guys. Okay. Any other incidents over the last week? It's been relatively calm, you know, as these things go. Sometimes we come and there's like 10, and this week we had, I mean, not that many.
We
which
had
is
an
good.
Accidental shooting overnight. Someone actually shot themselves in the hand. We talk about this. Only reason
all the
I bring
time.
It up is
yeah.
because we talk about it. These things happen way too frequently.
Yeah.
And our fear initially was that with open carry, more people will carry. And that's why we encourage people to be familiar with a gun, be familiar with a holster, and the way you carry. So, we had it probably had nothing to do with open carry, but we did have an individual accidentally shoot their hand. So if they heard about or they saw on our website and on our app that there was a shooting victim, it was an individual.
Okay.
Accidental shooting.
And they're cooperating. This is a straightforward case, not anything else.
Yeah, one of the ones that because we had one recently, an individual got shot. I think I may have mentioned it to you before, that ended up getting shot in the chest over in DeVoe Way, I believe it was. And ran away
and survived.
He survived, and then he said, "Hey, we'll let you know whenever if I want to cooperate.
If I need to help
but
you.
But that's not the
figure
case.
Figure out who shot me.
It's an accidental discharge.
Have you had very many, do you see many people open carrying? I don't see anybody open carrying in Escambia County. Do you see many? Have you had many calls from businesses or anything? Or
no.
People just worried about it?
No. I've seen some other counties having some people that are what they call Second Amendment auditors.
Mm-hmm. Doing it to see.
They will you know, test the government authority. Yeah. But I haven't seen anyone here in Escambia County. And perhaps it's because my take on it is you can carry open. You can, you know, it's a more plain language interpretation of the Constitution versus whatever statute that was in existence before this DCA ruling.
John tells me that 200% of the people in Milton are all carrying multiple weapons all the time, so it's just
200%? 200%. He's not a math major.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's an accountant.
Oh, well,
so,
maybe they have more than one gun.
That's exactly right. I got a question here. Let's see. Somebody says, please ask the sheriff what the nuisance abatement vans are around the fairgrounds. Does that ring any bells for you?
Yeah. A couple years ago, we've been having some situations where people in neighborhoods were complaining about people doing drugs, and we would forward to our narcotics, but it wasn't enough. We couldn't get probable cause to determine that they were doing it and do a search warrant. So other agencies in the South, I noticed they had these vans, and they weren't secret vans. They were just, I think they called them nuisance abatement as well. And I thought, you know what? We have some older vans that we're going to cycle out of circulation. Why don't we put some cameras in those? Why don't we park those and have it feed right into our real-time crime center? And so we had one van that was so popular, we had to get another van, and now we
okay, have, so these are the spy vans.
It's those, yeah. The spy okay. is kind of hard because it's got
it's
red
not
lettering
secret.
All
right.
over
right. I mean, it's a surveillance
with
vans, 20 right.
cameras in each van. We started them at the beach also, and now we're using as many cameras as we can at the Pensacola Interstate.
Got
Fair.
It, okay.
We have hundreds of thousands of people going through this. So we have our portable or our mobile video platforms that can telescope up.
Right.
But then we also have our drone unit out there, and we also have these nuisance abatement vans. There's no nuisance that we're aware of. It's the use of the cameras that, and all these cameras can feed into our real time crime center.
So it's preventative, it's precautionary, it's, you know, having things. It's easier to have things available rather than have to wish you'd had them after the fact. Okay. Apparently, buying funnel cakes for the sheriff is going to be the new sport for my listeners, judging by the text. So just don't be surprised if that happens. You can always bring them by the station. Okay, you guys had some interesting drug data come in, right? Which it's hard to call it good news because anything other than zero is bad news. But you've had some interesting data that actually seems to indicate that things are getting better. Is that right?
Yeah, there's a report here that came out from the what's called 2024 Annual Drugs and Deceased Persons Annual Report. And what it showed was these are statewide numbers, and these are the latest that we have. And the information based on late of 2024, again, these things take a while to trickle in, that opioid-caused deaths decreased by 32%, fentanyl-caused deaths decreased by 35%. And I would tell you that those
that's statewide
are,
or Escambia
that's
County?
Statewide.
Okay.
Now, as I understand it, the latest look that I had was that Escambia actually had a greater than in the 30s reduction in opioid-related deaths. As you know, we're part of this. We took advantage of this SAFE grant, which is a state fentanyl eradication grant, and fentanyl has been our top priority with regards to our enforcement efforts. And we've been partnering with Florida Department of Law Enforcement, and that's where I got these stats from, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. And, you know, while, like you said, you can't, you know, let's say it's the great news, the reduction is good news. One is too many, obviously,
right.
but things are trending in the right direction. It's better than having spikes in these types of things. But we're very aware that we've got a long way to go.
I'm working entirely on memory here, but I had it in my head that Escambia County was about somewhere between one a day and one and a half a day, like 300 to 500 a year, people were dying. From fentanyl opioid overdoses, because I had it in my head that when the CORE program came in, the county's doing
right,
that it made a huge dent in that because we got people basically onto treatment that makes them not want, not enjoy drugs, and they're choosing that. What do you think is the explanation for the reduction? Is it? I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities here. There's, you know, the interdiction stuff is working, arrests are working, demand is down because people are on the CORE program. Honestly, addicts die, so there are fewer people to die because there are fewer people using anymore. I mean, there's all kinds of possible explanations here. Do you have anything that you particularly identify as the reason this is down? Maybe use is down because people are smarter. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think that you know, there's this multi-pronged approach. There's the letting people know. When we do our Blazer Academy, I make sure that those kids know fentanyl will kill you, and you do not know what drugs you're taking.
Yeah.
I take every opportunity to let people know. So there's education factor. I think that our enforcement efforts have paid huge dividends. I mean, there are people that are doing that are in prison now because they've contributed to the decline in the community with regards to overdose deaths. I think the federal authorities have taken a much harsher stance on it. I have to say that closing the borders will probably end up doing something with regards to the amount of fentanyl that's coming into our country. The CORE program, as you mentioned, I happen to have some stats on that. They helped over 400 people locally, and that has contributed to a 68% drop in overdose deaths since 2023.
Yeah, it's a great program.
Again, that's all these things combined. This is what happens whenever people get together, and this is a huge problem. And it sometimes we as a people are slow on the uptick there. But I think that once we got a hold of all this and seeing what was taking place, I think that everything in combination is certainly what's helping out.
You make me think of an odd question, but that's how my brain works. I remember years ago we used to have meth labs.
Right.
And people would blow themselves up, and they would do all kinds of, you know, and then they would do these kind of shake and bake labs. They'd do them in cars, all this kind of stuff. And then I remember talking with you about this a couple of years ago, that we basically had stopped seeing that because the presumably the cartels had gotten in the business of making, you know, real meth labs in Mexico or elsewhere, and it was so much cheaper, and they would just, you know, smuggle it across the border, and so you wouldn't have that made domestically. And so that was the situation. Bad because meth use was up, but also in a way weirdly good because people weren't, you know, doing meth labs locally. But with the border control stuff that's been going on, have you seen a change back to the old? Is it harder for them to get meth in because of that? Are you seeing more of it being domestically produced? Is this, I mean, did you get the question? I don't know if it's
absolutely. I will tell you that in the past, because of the meth labs, so let me start with crack cocaine was a big issue.
Sure.
And then we really hit crack cocaine pretty hard. And then meth was an issue. We used to have our own meth labs. We had people trained to go into meth labs because they were so commonplace. Since then, we've basically stopped.
You had your own
meth
chemists, analysts.
Yeah. We had people that would go in there.
Got it. Okay.
That would handle the
technicians or whatever you want to call them, specialists.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember the name of it now, but basically, it's people that get suited up and they go into these meth labs and they take care of them.
Okay.
You know, they collect the evidence and that sort of thing.
Got it.
So we don't fund that anymore because
it left the country.
Very expensive, and we just don't see them. We would call FDLE or we'd call someone else for it now. So it is a conversation that we're having, as you mentioned.
Okay.
If they're not getting it from across the border, then they're going to probably start making it again. Or they could. Nate probably is kind of a strong word, but they may well decide to make it in the kitchen sinks again.
Right.
And that's something that we're very aware of. I mean, we try to keep track of these trends and try to stay ahead of them. Obviously, it's very difficult because these, you know, the analogs and stuff associated
right.
with various drugs. But we're working very well with the Attorney General. On staying ahead of the trends, and it's at this point we're seeing some improvements.
Last question for you, and I just bring this to your attention because you may not have seen the story. Mobile police officers, I guess Mobile has gotten some deal on iPads because their EMS is using iPads to do the frequent flyers to kind of get them not to take an ambulance. But the police department has iPads they're using to connect mental health clinicians to people who are previously likely to get arrested for petty crime, like loitering. And they say 72% of those individuals are brought to the crisis center for help by law enforcement instead of going to jail. I don't know if that's a program you've heard about or if there's anything like that that you guys have considered trying or if that's even an ongoing problem in our county. But again, I thought it was kind of innovative, a way to use technology to it's not quite the what do you call it, when the court system moves them out of the courts into, you know, diversion.
Drug court.
It's not diversion, but it's sort of in that thinking model.
It's proactive. I don't know exactly what they're doing. I can tell you that we have a mental health unit, as we talked about,
mm-hmm.
with the internal aspect, but also we have a partnership with Lakeview where we have clinicians that actually go with us and what they'll do some proactive work as well, and they'll respond to potential Baker Act calls, and again, as someone gets transitioned out of the Baker Act facility, then they will help us and work with us. So we do gather that information. They do proactive, screening of individuals that might be, that might not keep their medication on hand,
right.
might not be able to take their medication, or might not be willing to take their medication. So we do some of that. I'd have to take a look at and see what Mobile's doing. Are you talking about? Not every deputy. They just have the clinicians that are working with that.
It seems to be they've identified a target population that they think this will help with or work with, and I don't know a lot of details, but I thought it was interesting, and I wanted to bring it to your attention. So,
mental health is certainly a very big factor. You know, we talk about where we're kind of slow on the uptake on some of these things, and some of that I would say that not just law enforcement, but as a community. The mental health aspect of things, and people have no idea how many people that we encounter every day that they're going through some sort of a crisis or mental health episodes.
And I think in both of these cases, both MPD and their EMS are both like the iPad is only usable for this one application. Like it's totally locked into that one application. It's not like you can use it for everything else. Sheriff Chip Simmons, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for what you do, keeping us informed, entertained, telling us you don't like funnel cakes. We'll still be friends.
That's not that I don't like them. I'm just
you said what you said.
There's other things.
Don't backtrack now.
You've seen all the food in there.
I know.
So there's no salads. I'll stay with that. No, for meals. As a side salad.
Yeah,
only.
The fair salad booth is the least, all organic food right here, baby.
No one's there.
Nobody's there. Sheriff, thanks for the time.
You bet. Y'all take.
Yeah. What is the name of that salad chick chick or chick chick salad, whatever the name of that restaurant is, right? I don't see them having a booth at the fair.
Yeah, no, I don't either. I don't think it's going to happen.
Unless they're going to have, like, and this is, I'm sorry to put this in your imagination, but, like, the deep-fried salad, deep-fried lettuce is not, I know, I saw John's face.
Ew.
Right? That's awful.
Thanks, Andrew.
You're
love you
welcome.
Too.
I make everything worse. Oh, by the way, if you are listening on the app, we are aware that there's an issue with it this morning and the streaming kind of coming and going. We're working on it, you know. But thank you, really, genuinely, thank you for letting us know, because we wouldn't know here in the studio.
Exactly.
So I always appreciate it. If you're having problems like that, please let us know. We're always very, very eager to try to fix these things, because I know so many of you listen on the app, and I appreciate that. Hey, if you've got a kid who is used to love math but doesn't as much anymore, maybe had a teacher they didn't love, or, you know, just something seems to have changed, you know, wanting to give that joy and confidence back to them, this is a problem that Mathnasium can help you with. You've got a seventh grader who just started algebra, you know, did great with regular math, and then all of a sudden algebra, like, whoa, they're not doing, or geometry or trig or whatever it is. That's something that Mathnasium can help with. They're really good friends of ours, my wife and I, the owners of Mathnasium, and they love teaching kids math. And listen, basically the way this starts is you go in for an assessment. The assessment's totally free, okay? They take a test, and you just kind of learn where the kids are struggling. What element? The test is designed to isolate which parts of their math skills are great, good, not as good, and really need some serious improvement, because they can fix it. All of these things are fixable. Your kid can do well at math. Your kid can enjoy math. Your kid cannot continue to get farther and farther behind because of some particular thing that's missing in their math skill set. So anyway, go in for a free assessment. They also take step-up money. So, you know, that's something to consider if that's applicable to you. But going to take an assessment, 94% of parents see an improvement in their child's math skills and understanding. Mathnasium, located next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1, to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 29th to Pensacola Beach. Presented by IT Gulf Coast and Blue Angels AFSIA chapter, get connected with top-level cybersecurity, AI, and emerging technology experts. The conference features a free career fair, prizes, and an amazing welcome reception on Pensacola Beach. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Visit itenwired.com for tickets.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from cosmetology and plumbing to nursing and aviation airframe mechanics. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. Go here. Get there.
Looking for a stylish way to promote your brand or celebrate a special occasion? Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze now offers custom hats, a new addition to their lineup of custom and promotional items. From corporate logos to personalized designs, these hats are perfect for businesses, events, team gear, or one-of-a-kind gifts. Prim and Proper is still your go-to for custom engraving and unique gifts. From personalized drinkware to engraved home decor, every item is crafted with care by their in-house experts. Visit primandproper.com for more.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Claire, I'm more afraid of being nothing than I am of being hurt.
Hasn't stopped raining for days. My world is a flood, but slowly I become one with the mud.
But if I can't, oh man, so good. They're great in concert too, by the way. Jars of Clay was fantastic. I don't even know how many times I've seen them in concert
because
they were always
in
different Christian festivals and, you know, Six Flags Day, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
John Pickens, that voice, the one you want to hear, though, is David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The government shutdown hits day 22, the second longest in U.S. history. Democrats still refusing to back a House funding plan unless it includes health insurance subsidies. Lawmakers will meet again today to try to end the stalemate.
It's definitely going to fix itself today. Have faith. Just blind, naive, contrary to all the evidence and reason faith. It'll all be okay. Or we are learning that we don't need the government so much, maybe.
Listen on air.